B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie. Hoagie party tree is every bit as good. Discussing the great Ben Simmons debate for the first hour. We'll continue doing that. We have a lot of calls that want to participate in this. But the news of the day that I don't know how this affects the football season fans-wise, but Philadelphia has canceled all large events through February, including Mummers, Thanksgiving Parade, the Broad Street Run. All this stuff will be canceled, and it doesn't address whether Eagle fans will be permitted. How do you think this affects that?
Apparently, later on they said it does.
Yeah.
So at first they were exempt, and like at 11 a.m., they were exempt, but somehow at 2 o'clock, they're no longer.
So there'll be no fans. That's already
It's publicly advertised, so while it's private property, I don't think they're allowed to sell tickets to fans or something. I'm trying to dig into it now because of the conflicting reports, but that's what seems to be the case.
Well, that makes an easy decision for the people who are hanging on to tickets. Now everybody defers. Boom. Yeah. That's the end of that. More discussions of whether fans can come to Eagle games.
Makes me weepy.
No, and then that also affects Flyers and Sixers for at least the start of next season.
Yes, it does.
Because let's say they've said till February 20th. Let's say that holds.
Mm-hmm.
And they go a month, and January there's a vaccine. That still means two more months for the Flyers and the Sixers with no fans. And most likely by then, they'd be playing in their home arenas. They'd no longer be a bubble.
I have to presume that people will be still interested in getting into the lot to tailgate.
And that's not allowed. They'll probably close those lots.
You think they'll close the lots?
They don't have a choice.
Because tailgating can be, you can do it in small groups. I would have to be police, but some people like that. They will have the TV on
in the
lot and right next to the stadium. Some people like that experience. I don't know, but.
No, people do. You're right. Yeah. That people do like that experience.
I like that experience.
That's a good. Sometimes that experience to me is better than being in the stadium for football.
Same.
Mainly because of the weather.
Yeah.
I can find a way to stay warm in the lot.
Yeah.
I can't stay warm in the stadium.
There's an RV. There's a toilet.
But I think they'll just. I don't think you can allow it. I think you have to make the edict.
That's going to be interesting. That's the next level, I think.
Because if you have, let's say you have just your household, you got a family of five, that's fine. But then as soon as you get another family next to you, that's 10. Uh-huh. Another family can't do it.
Now the lots are owned by the city, correct?
Right.
So I guess it would be on them if they were to open, except for like the privately owned ones, like Jets
will probably be open.
And the fish lot.
Around that you can still do it.
Yeah, like I mean like the main, like the Wells Fargo lot, which has become the main lot, that's probably going to be closed.
Yeah.
There's no way that the city will allow that one to be open. Mm. The police do everything. They'll have that chained up.
We'll see what happens. Before you get back to the phones, I got to put this out there because I'm on the lookout for an illustrator.
Really?
Yeah, I have an idea for a children's book.
Oh, wow.
And I need an illustrator to pair with me because I can't illustrate it.
You're writing children's books now?
Well, no, I have an idea for a children's book. It's called My Crazy Sheba.
I love it.
It's about my dog because my dog is certifiably insane. And I'm thinking I can make a good children's book out of it.
What's she doing?
She's just insane. She's like, does stuff that no other dog would do. Like, I'll bring a lawnmower out. She'll attack the wheels of the lawnmower and try to bite the wheels off as the lawnmower is moving.
Right.
Yesterday, I had my weed whacker out. She was out there attacking the weed whacker, and she got clipped.
She did?
Yeah. She got clipped.
Was she hurt?
She was stunned, and she went in another part of the yard to sit it out.
Right.
But she's insane. And so I think I could spin that into, like, I will be the voice inside her head.
Okay.
That's how I'll write the book.
Yeah.
But I need the illustrator to write the circumstance. Like, I'll have, like, 30 different circumstances.
I can help you write it. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
We can collaborate.
Okay. Yeah, the writing part I think I can handle.
He's looking for an illustrator.
Yeah,
illustrator.
An illustrator who draws the pictures. That would be in book form.
Yeah.
Like, I present the scenario. Okay, the dog is... Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I'm walking a dog the other day, and she's on the street walking. A squirrel hops by within a 10-foot range. My dog stops. Now, I know exactly what's going on in her head, because she's just looking at the squirrel, and she's thinking, you're so damn lucky that I'm on a leash. Because right. If I wasn't, I would tear your ass up. You know, you mm-hmm. can just see the look on her face mm-hmm. of what was going on in the head.
Yeah.
So that would be the kind of book. Like, I would be the insane voice in this dog's head.
I think it's great. I think you're onto something here.
It's a good idea.
Can you have one of the books or one of the stories be with her friend Ginger?
See, I feel like you're hijacking this a little bit now.
Well, because
he asked for an illustrator.
I just love the idea that do comics and stuff. Like, there are some brilliant people out there who, like, graphic artists, whatever. Yeah. I'm looking to pair up with somebody. So if you're one of those people, email me at mikemiss@975thefanatic.com. See if I can make this happen.
Let me jump on that. That right. artist, if they can do a sports kind of print, I would buy it from them. But it has to be a local artist, because it appears that Sixers Outsiders is going to be back.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be at home for safety purposes.
Oh, really?
And
oh.
I would like to put a piece of art behind me for the backdrop.
So now you're hijacking it.
Yeah. And I'm owning it.
I just want to be I just want my dog involved.
The backdrop is extremely important when you're doing remote.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to have, and I have a piece that, but I would like a companion piece. So if that illustrator that contacts you is a sports fan and could draw something up, I would put it behind me in the background.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. That sounds good. All right. Let's go to Paul in Downingtown. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Natalie. Hey, Gerald.
What's up, Paul? How you doing?
All right. Well, speaking about Ben Simmons and the four position, but first, you guys are talking about how long would you keep him before you give up on it. He's an all-star, okay? He's an all-star. And he has that killer mentality. He's a straight-up killer. When he choked out Karl Anthony Towns, I said, yeah, that guy right there, he's a killer. And you need one of those guys on your team. I don't know, a guy like that is invaluable, a straight-up killer. But getting back to the four spot, I see him and Joel Embiid playing a 4-5 high-low, foul line down. And as Joel gets the ball down low, he gets double-teamed. He kicks it back to Ben. Ben's already foul line high and extended. He's a great passer from that point, or he can take the shot if he has it.
Yeah, that's the key. He's going to have the shot. You know he's going to have that shot. Because Horford got it all day long. So Ben's going to get that shot. It's just a matter of, are you convinced that he shoots it? That's really the only thing that we have to decide, whether that's going to happen. And if it does happen in the first game and he's getting looks, then I know it's not going to happen forever.
I'm convinced that the two of them, either they could switch roles at that 4-5 high-low.
Yeah, they could do that. That's definitely possible. But then, let's create the scenario where Joel's down low, gets doubled, boom, the foul line, 14-footer, not even at the line, like right at the elbow area. Right now, does he take that shot?
Well, if Joel's double team and Joel's down low, I'll give Ben one dribble and a shot.
But does he take it? See, that's the thing. Well, we've how long have we been saying he has to take it?
Well, he has to take that shot. If he's fouled, it's like a free throw.
How many times have you seen him take the shot in his career? How many times have you seen him take that shot?
Twice. And they were both turnarounds.
Well, twice. And they weren't even in shot form. They were in sling arm form. That's different than a shot. The sling arm is like the push up towards the rim shot. Jeff in Camden. Oh, there he is. It's our buddy Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, homeboy? What's going on?
What's happening?
Yeah. So here we go again around the proverbial Ferris wheel, merry-go-round type of thing here. Ben Simmons will get that shot. We know he will get that shot. Uh-huh. But we saw the entire career of Shaquille O'Neal, all type of specialists, he never got that free throw down. On the flip side of that, Jay Kidd actually did become a decent mid-range three and also three-point shooter. So it can happen. Do I think it'll happen with this guy? I do not. There are too many factors. It's his stubbornness to show us that he can do it his way. And also, I'm just not sure of his dedication to do it, being that he hired his brothers to teach him to begin with. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying from the evidence. All I can go by is from the evidence of the effort put in to become better at this one skill set that will make him damn near top 10, top 5 player in the league if he can get it.
Listen, I agree with you. That's why I'm giving it some time to stretch out. And there'll be a time where I hit a wall. Believe me when I tell you. But this guy's skill set is too vast for me to just bail.
Mike, you don't give up easy either, because until Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, you were a guy who said Nick Foles would never win a Super Bowl in the Eagles uniform. So we've all been.
Yeah, it was a fluke. It was a fluke. He didn't have Ben Simmons' talent. I can use my eyeballs and see Ben Simmons' talent. You use your eyeballs and see Nick Foles' talent? What do you see?
Nick Foles, champion. Ben Simmons.
I get it, but that's not what I asked you. When you look at his skill set, what did you see?
Hey, how
come you don't answer the question? How come you? I'm asking you a simple question. Jeff, you never answer a simple question.
What is the question again?
The question is, I can see Ben Simmons' skill set with my own eyeballs. That's why I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. What skill set did you see in Nick Foles that would enable you to say, "Oh my God, he's going to win a Super Bowl because he's so great"?
7 TDs in one game, baby.
That's flukish.
It worked. It happened.
And how has his career been overall? What would you say?
He gets hurt a damn lot, don't he?
Okay, so that's a factor.
Overall,
and God bless him for the 6 games that he played, and they won a Super Bowl. Overall, he's been mediocre.
But
he's got a ring. Yeah, good for him. He did a nice job for the fans here. Well, you know, don't compare it to the Ben Simmons analysis. I look at Ben Simmons, I can see his skill set. I see breathtaking talent in several areas. I never saw breathtaking talent in Nick Foles. No, he got on a roll. He was blessed.
It was a great roll. He almost did it twice.
Sometimes everything, the stars fall in line. And you have, have your career moment.
Like Willie Burton.
Yeah.
Like if Willie Burton has those same moments, but it's the playoff time, we look at Willie Burton moment totally different. But Willie Burton was not a great player, and unfortunately, Nick Foles has not demonstrated that he's a great quarterback.
No, it's all leveled out for Nick.
Yeah.
It's leveled out, and he's had a mediocre to better than mediocre career overall, but he can't take away the accomplishment of everything the stars were in alignment for. In that one period of time.
He was magical.
Yes, he was. All right, Aaron in Norristown checking in. What's up, Aaron?
Mike, how you doing today?
What's happening?
Not much. I hope I could change gears a little bit. I'm pretty excited about it's been 4 months. The Flyers look like a pretty good chance to go to the Cup.
Yeah, I know you've been saying that, and I'm wondering if they can carry over the momentum that they left with. That's all.
Well, I've been watching their practices, which is what it is, but I'm telling you, Michael, they have the depth and they have the roster to end the goalie, especially in the way this is being. I mean, their goalie who has proven, you know, this is a perfect scenario for this team with their roster. And they get JVR back and they get Phil Myers back. Besides the Bruins and the Lightning, who I think, I don't know how many Lightning are going to play with, you know, whatever. It's the Caps, the Flyers, the Knights, and the Avs are all like 8 to 10 to 1 to win the Cup. To win the Cup, not to go to the Cup. So they're like a top 6 team to win the Cup. They have the perfect coach for this scenario. You know, if Giroux plays like he was playing before COVID hit and has his first good playoff since 2012, maybe he'll be angry that even though some people at your station thought he was an MVP candidate, the team MVP was Sean Couturier. So maybe, you know, if he plays like he was playing before the the COVID situation, they have a perfect roster. They even called up this guy. They called up Igor Zamula, this 20-year-old sensation defenseman. There are going to be waves of Flyers coming in the next 3 or 4 years, and I think they're going to start in this playoff run going deep, Michael.
I hope you're right, brother. I hope you're right. The only thing I when a team has high momentum and they stop, I just hope that after all this time, they can get back and just pick up where they left off.
Mike, I understand what you're saying, but here's what they're a little bit different. And I do want to wonder on both teams. It's interesting how both teams are going to react to no fans, because I think hockey is actually the sport, in my opinion, where fans have the most pull and push in a game, because, you know, basketball is a game of runs and goes back and forth. Hockey, a home crowd really does make a difference. But the Flyers actually prove differently than the Sixers. They were like a 500 team on the road and dominant at home. But I'm wondering on both teams how the lack of fans is going to make like a generic, sterile appeal to the game and how it affects the players. I think it has less of an effect in hockey, but I was wondering your opinion.
I don't agree with you that the crowd means more in hockey. Because if you look at playoff scenarios, the home ice advantage doesn't mean as much as it does in other sports. Those guys are programmed. They're on the ice. They're playing hard. I don't think the crowd matters that much, though.
Well, I agree and disagree. I think it could actually matter both negatively and positively, because, like, as Drew talked about in the playoff series, when a hockey crowd gets down, it kind of weighs when the arena gets silent. It weighs on the sport, you know, weighs on the play of the team. So I think it weighs both ways.
Yeah, I get it. I think basketball is a much bigger advantage, because basketball, the arena stays hot even during timeouts. You got all the fanfare, people coming to the court doing. Hockey's not the same. Those guys are grinder players, man. It's shift after shift for them, whether there's people there or not. And I think in the playoffs, it's proven that. The home ice advantage doesn't matter as much in hockey.
You're absolutely right. And you're absolutely right, because in hockey, no one's shocked if an 8 seed mm-hmm. upsets a 1 seed. That just happened last year. Mm-hmm. No one's shocked by anything in hockey in the playoffs. In the NBA, in the NFL, it matters a lot. Maybe not, to me, baseball might be the one that, but you get the last out.
There's a crowd lull in hockey because, there's some action, don't get me wrong, but there are fewer scores. So there's lulls with ragging the puck and center ice passing and mm-hmm. getting from one zone to the other, where the crowd is just sitting back watching.
Right.
In basketball, every possession results in a score, mostly.
Right, and you get a reaction. You need a big hit or some special spin move mm-hmm. or a goal in hockey a lot of times before the people really get up.
Right, a dunk will energize a crowd, for instance. One score will energize a crowd in a different way than hockey. I think hockey players are just programmed that, go out there and do your job, and they're not worried about the crowd. They're just, worried. Right. Because there's so much more to worry about. You got to keep your head up. You're going to get buried. You have to avoid a hit. I mean, there's too much to concentrate on without being influenced by the crowd, I think.
And I've always wondered, as a hockey player, how you always get your shift change stuff right.
Yeah.
Like, when to come off exactly. I feel like I would mess that up, because I'm used to being... Go, 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 go. Sometimes those guys are going, and then they get to the neutral zone, and certain times they did dump the puck, ahead and change.
There's always an assistant coach that is yelling at a certain player, change. So they're helped out that way. But you're right, you have to have a feel for it also. All right, 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. A couple of lines have opened up, and we were just had a full board, so you can get in it. And here's AJ in West Philly checking in. What's up, AJ?
What's up, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Not much. Yo, I was real hyped yesterday when I looked at the how they're going to change the team up, start Shake Milton. I'm glad you gave Tyrone his props, because, he was on the bandwagon from the beginning.
The Shake Milton's the ultimate Club Tyrone survivor, man. The ultimate Club Tyrone survivor is Shake Milton.
And listen, we're going to need to listen to Tyrone, because we got a couple second-round picks. That was, a little later on my point on how our team is looking. I was thinking about the Landry Shamet pick. If somehow we could have kept Shamet and he was starting, nobody would say nothing. This is looking like Elton Brand knew what he's doing at the GM, picking some of these late-round picks.
Shamet's the first rounder.
It was like me first round. We had to have an eye for him.
Yeah, but you wouldn't take him over Tobias Harris.
Oh, no. I needed to trade Shamet. I mean, Shamet would have been great, but I needed to trade with Tobias, because he's supposed to be a 20-point scorer.
Yeah.
Remember last year are a problem on the bench. We lacking big men and actual NBA players. Well, now with Burks, Robinson III, Thibault, and my man Korkmaz, we got a solid bench, Mike. Don't let nobody talk about my bench. Don't let nobody talk about my Sixers bench like we don't have a solid bench.
I think it's a little under solid. They haven't proven that they have a solid bench.
Al Horford on the bench, I think it's a solid bench, and I think we can take this all the way.
What did Glenn Robinson and Burke show you that you would go to solid?
Burke didn't show you anything. Burke showed me that he can play the point guard, which I did not know. He can play the point. I was calling for him.
He was okay, but you're going to solid, you know?
So, as a backup point guard, Robinson as a backup power forward, Thibault as a backup
I got news for
forward.
You. Robinson's not going to be in a rotation.
Maybe not in front of Thibault. I would love Thibault to get in. But Horford coming in off the bench, that's when we had Boban Maricich or something.
I don't see, this is one of my questions. Is the bench solid? I can't say that the bench is solid. The bench is a mystery, just like Ben going to the four, frankly. I don't know what I'm going to get out of Horford off the bench. I don't know what I'm going to get out of Burks. I never know what I'm going to get out of Korkmaz. Who do I look at as, well, that dude's reliable off the bench? You're taking Horford. Horford, yeah. But again, he's a solid veteran player, so you know who you're going to get. But you don't know in that capacity yet how good he's going to be. So I'll give you Horford, but what else makes him a solid bench?
Well, it doesn't. But
they
could be.
Everything, you know, like if these guys played better than they showed, they could be a solid bench. But I can't label them now solid bench.
Well, I put it on social media. I'll have the people on the other side of the break. I'll pitch some of the people's rotations to you.
All right.
And you give me a thumbs up or thumbs down.
All right. Sounds good. Let's take a break. We'll come back. 610-620-975 on the Mike Missinelli Show. Your calls after that.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:30, Mike Missinelli's show. Let's get a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie. Ned?
Thanks, Mike. Over 600 votes on this one today. Do you think Jason Peters will be able to make the transition to guard? 82% say yes, 18% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. And let's get back to the telephones and go
Shams is reporting multiple tips have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus.
Oh, the snitch line is cooking?
It's cooking. DJ,
I know we have kind of selective rules when it comes to snitch lines. When your health is at stake, a snitch line shouldn't be looked at as negative.
I agree.
No, absolutely not.
It's a lot of money and health, like you said on the line, can mess around. And we already had one player who broke the dumb bubble just to go get food.
Yeah.
So if you're going to break it for that, you'll definitely break it for a woman, for this, or that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. So, good. I'm glad.
So that means there are protocol violations here.
Well,
the snitch line is humming. The guys are flouting the system.
Or probably questionable behavior, I would imagine.
Like what?
So,
what would be questionable behavior? Leaving the grounds is the only questionable behavior.
So,
right?
Shams, he goes on, he says, some players have received warnings from violations, sources said, as league ensures social distancing and mask protocol. So, someone might have not been wearing their mask, or they might be congregating too close together, maybe something like that.
I got you. By the way, this is fascinating that, that video of the Wildwood police officer beating on a guy that he had in custody. And it's fascinating the way it came together because the guy tweeted out the video like 3 something a.m. And then he had reporter, like an Inquirer reporter, like tweeted him back. If you want to talk to me, please call me. And blah blah blah. So they were trying to get it through this guy's video to make him a witness on what was going on down there. And I don't know if he did or not. I saw a story today in the Philadelphia Inquirer on it, but there weren't many details. Do we have any more details on that? Did that guy who witnessed that come forth?
I haven't seen anything else. I'll look into it. But I haven't seen anything more than what we already know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. I was thinking about my Phillies lineup, and I decided something, Tyrone. I decided something that is pretty, I don't think you would think I would have gone this way.
Oh, okay.
So I have decided that the center field job should go to Roman Quinn.
Okay.
I think he offers more at that position in the lineup and in the field than Haseley does. And until he gets hurt, I would ride with that as my plan and make him my leadoff hitter.
All right. So
I know that's a tall ask, you know, because it's pressure not only as a starter, but as a leadoff hitter.
So, all right, so for a week, he's the leadoff hitter and a center fielder, and then Haseley bats ninth or eighth and plays center field for the rest 53 games. Because that guy can't stay healthy.
Yeah. But here's my lineup.
All right.
Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
McCutcheon in the two-hole.
In the two-hole. Why the two? He was the best leadoff hitter in baseball.
He's older.
Year.
I don't want him in the leadoff hole. I'd rather have him in the two-hole. If Quinn gets on, he steals second. McCutcheon now becomes an RBI guy.
Okay.
I want McCutcheon to be more than a leadoff hitter. I think he could be more productive not as a leadoff hitter.
All right.
Because I don't have any other places. But Quinn can set a table for me. So, to me, he's a better leadoff hitter than McCutcheon.
Okay.
McCutcheon's not going to get on steal or anything. Quinn is. So I like that dynamic of it. The Phillies had to do some different things offensively.
Okay.
All right. So now I got McCutcheon 2, Harper, Hoskins, Ramuto, Segura, Jetpacks, Gregorius.
And then who's your DH?
Oh. Forgot about the DH.
You got to have the DH.
Oh, I forgot about the DH. I got to redo it. I got to read because Jay Bruce has got to be the DH. But then again,
against lefties.
Yeah, I don't know if they would change it up against righties. Jay Bruce has.
No, they said it won't be all the time. They said they'll spell guys, but early you wouldn't be spelling
all right,
guys.
So I'll put Bruce in the six hole. Segura 7, Jetpacks 8, Gregorius 9.
There you go. So he has no pressure on him in that 9 hole. Coming off the injury, trying to earn a little money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My only issue is just the Quinn factor, because I think that you're going to end up having to make McCutcheon your leadoff hitter after a week anyway once the hamstring pull comes.
You're probably right. But best case scenario, I got to take a shot here.
Okay.
And this battle for center field. This guy does more than Haseley. So let's chance it.
Hey, Haseley's pretty good in the field, too.
He is, but Quinn is, too. It's just the wheels I can't ignore. He gives me an advantage with the wheels.
He's very
so
fast.
I'm going to trust him. I'm not a fan. Don't get me wrong, because I don't know if he can hit at this level. But to platoon him, and that's what they're thinking of doing. They're going to platoon and make Quinn the right-handed center field bat and make Haseley the left-handed center field bat. But I defeat Quinn by making him strictly a right-handed hitter. A left-handed hitter with his speed, to me, is more of an asset than him just batting from the right side.
Yeah, and he's back to switch hitting after Gabe made him stop.
Right.
The smart man just said,
I
got to
have him hit left-handed, too. And the way to do that is I got to start him.
You got to play him
every day. I can't just platoon him and say, you're just a right-handed hitter.
All right. I think it's worth a try. I mean, Haseley still get plenty of playing time.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Your boy will be all right.
Be all right.
610-632-0975. Steve on a cell. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Steve?
I got a couple things I want to touch on. First of all, speaking of the bubble, the NBA bubble,
mm-hmm.
Everybody's favorite backup center, Rashawn Holmes, he's one of the guys who violate.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't
hear. Oh, yeah. We busted on Rashawn yesterday.
I know you did. I know.
Uh-huh.
As far as Ben with the in the four, I'm with you. I'll say, you know, Brett Brown, hey, he's an experienced head coach. He knows basketball probably better than all of us, so give it a try. I think he can get that open shot, like you were saying earlier, like similar to the way Charles Oakley was with Toronto. I don't know if you remember when the Sixers played him in the playoffs. Charles Oakley constantly had that open shot on a I can't remember what side of the rim it was, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that should be good. Yeah.
And he made some shots.
And he made it, exactly.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. He's gotta have the confidence to take and make that shot.
True that. And that remains to be seen. But I still want him to, hopefully he can still have the ball in his hands and like still do like we did it last year earlier this year when Brett Brown put him at the four sometimes. But he still played the point, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Well, yeah, my third, I heard you on TV and I heard the tail end of the conversation. You were talking about Steven Seagal, whatever the movies. And I would have to say my two favorite movies by him would have to be Alpha Justice and Marked for Death.
Alpha Justice was hysterical to me.
It was
funny in a campy way. Because here's the thing about Seagal. Seagal beats up 1,000 people in his movies and never gets touched.
You're right. He never gets touched. Look, I'm not Italian. I'm African American, but I know a bad fake Italian accent when I hear one.
It's true. He goes behind the bar. He goes, oh, hey, wait, I see boxing gloves. Wait, are you a tough guy? Yeah. Yeah, see how boxing gloves over here. I got this one over here. Yeah.
And the guy was like, you could have killed somebody upstairs. He's like, and there ain't nobody upstairs.
Yeah, ain't nobody upstairs. That's a good call, man. That's good, Steve. I appreciate it. It's the truth. He embellishes the Italian part of it into a camp. The movie's campy.
Yes, almost.
It really is. It's funny.
It is funny. He's unintentionally funny. Actually, you know, it's actually a glitch in the Matrix that guy ended up having such a big career.
Yeah.
It's a glitch in the Matrix. That should have never happened.
He's telling the mob guy. No, I was a kid. So, you remember Pino? Yeah, I remember Pino. It's going to take me to movies. He stops by, he's this guy beaten. He puts him in the trunk. They go to the movies. I'm thinking about what about the guy in the trunk? Right?
Yes. He's so bad.
And Cheech, hey, look at us under God. Who would have thought? You became a gangster and I became a cop. It's ridiculous.
It's terrible.
But I mean, he beats the hell out of people. I never see anybody. Listen, you against all the martial art dudes, you're going to get clipped.
At least, not even a stomach punch.
You're gonna
like
get clipped.
Nothing.
You're going to clip once.
Doesn't bleed, nothing.
He doesn't get touched.
Indestructible. At least when Van Damme movies, Van Damme's, first of all, it's hard. You root for a guy because he's like the underdog. Van Damme is losing and he comes back. Seagal never is losing. There had to be two screw faces just so he could have a challenge. One wasn't enough. They had to throw in a twist.
Yeah. And in that one, Gina Gershon is in that one I'm talking about.
She's in that.
Played Richie's sister.
Yeah. Now she can act.
And Uncle Junior is his father.
Yes, he is. What was he doing in that movie?
Uncle Junior's his father in that movie. The bad guy.
I bet you he was a badass too.
Let's take a break. 610-632-0975. Back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.45 Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632 0975. Four questions that I have today for you. Now that we know Ben Simmons is a four, number one, is this a Hail Mary and would they have been better off staying the same? Number two, Ben at the four. Why does this benefit the Sixers more than Ben at the one? Number three, are we sure about Shake? And number four, what is the bench rotation? And can this head coach keep it at eight or at max nine?
So, social media, I put all these questions on. Everybody's on board. They don't think it's a Hail Mary. I'm going by the reaction on social media.
All right.
It's mixed on whether or not things will be better with Ben at the 4-1. That's mixed, depending on who you ask.
Okay.
Almost unanimously, people are believing in Shake Milton. Now, the rotation, this is the one where it's most mixed. So, let me throw out, this is in order. And you tell me what you like about, if you like this one or not. He has Al, Burks, Greg Robinson, Furkan. That's his, that would be his max in that order. So, first man Al, Burks.
So, G-Rob makes it.
G-Rob makes it, and then Furkan. What do you think about that bench rotation?
Well, I'm torn because I see the value of having an athletic guy like Robinson playing in certain roles. I guess if the big that comes off the bench is Horford, I got to be okay with that. But Scott's a big who can make a three. So I don't know.
All right. I'll throw another one.
I don't know.
This guy is suggesting 10. Again, I'm not going to try to. He has Horford, first man, Thibault, then Furkan, then Burks, then Mike Scott.
So Robinson's out and Korkmaz is out?
Korkmaz is in. It was Horford, Thibault, then Korkmaz, Burks, and then Scott would be the 10th man on this scenario. And he thinks the coach is going to go with 10, not to 8 or 9, as you're asking for.
Oh, I don't know about 10 in playoffs. 10 makes you disjointed.
I agree with that. 10 is too many. I kind of think Mike Scott's going to be in that mix.
You're probably right because he's got the experience to help a little bit in a couple of areas.
And he gives you that good professional foul. Like, he's not giving up an and one. He gives you the good foul.
Yeah.
Which can matter in a close game.
So, Horford, Scott, Burks, you go Thibault or Korkmaz.
I think that's it. And Robinson, sorry. I think that's what it has to be.
Either Korkmaz or Thibault. Where are you going?
Me, I would go Thibault. He's going to go Korkmaz. He hasn't trusted Thibault all year. I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think it's the right move not to include Thibault. He just doesn't give you enough that you... At the expense of shortened rotation, he doesn't give you enough to stay in that shortened rotation. He gives you one skill at this point.
Well, so does Korkmaz. And if that one comes
true,
up leaking...
But that skill is the coach is enamored with.
Yeah.
He's the anti-Thibault.
Yes. Complete opposite. No defense, but he'll make a shot.
He's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you a question because that poll that we took, like, it's not a Hail Mary, but yet it's mixed amongst the people that it's going to be a success. Shouldn't that go, it's going to be a success? If it's not a Hail Mary, then they should be more on board with the success of it.
They're saying that it's well thought out, but they don't believe that Ben will shoot. That's what it comes down to. Okay. Most of the people look at it like, I'll believe he'll shoot when I see it.
All right.
That's what most people on social media so far have said. Maybe it'll change now that we talked about it. They go on the internet and
okay. All right, let's go. Steve and King of Prussia. Steve, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mike. Steve, what's up?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, great team. I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener. Wonderful team. I just enjoy you guys so much.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
I'll start with a question, and then I'll just walk through some of my comments. My first question was, why do we care if Ben shoots? Right. And I guess it's things like more scoring and defended and things like that. That's at least what I came up with. And so I think the coach made a tremendous, wonderful move, moving him to a forward position. A, he gets to go to a position that he's closer to the net. He knows how to get to the net. And whether he shoots or not, he'll score at least the same amount of points he scores from where he is at the guard position, maybe a few more.
Yeah, I don't see a few more. One of his great assets is getting from the top to the bottom. Because he can get to the basket at any one, and that's where he'll get a lot of his points. So now you're kind of taking that away from him, and that's got to be made up with plays around the basket and some medium range jump shots. And I don't know.
I think you said something. It's plays. So you're going to have to move the team a little bit when he's got the ball to let him get inside, move the team outside. Move it wide so he can make his plays and score. Let's just say that happens. Let's just say he scores the same. But he has to be defended now. That's the good news. They're going to have to defend him because they know he's going to score. The nice thing is now we have a guard. We have a shooting guard who can score some points. He's got to be defended. So
are
I think
talking
that's
about Shake?
Shake, I think he can score some
points. He's going to be the one, but Richardson's
going to
be the
one. They may not. Let's just say he does score. He can guard. Ben doesn't have to worry about running the team. He just scores some points. And then the third point, so you have the guard now being defended. So now we have a 5-on-5 game.
Everything you say is laid out beautifully. I question I'm like, are we sure about Shake? And you're going, right. Shake gives you this. Well, don't know what he's going to give me.
Right. I agree with you. I can't disagree until the end of the game we see him. I'm just saying, let's say he does, he's defended. The nice thing is playing one-on-one, now the folks that were double-teamed can now be single-teamed.
I hope you're right. It seems to be laid out. You can make a case that it's going to lay out like this. I just go, there's a couple things that have to happen for it to lay out like that. One of them is Shake has to be what people think he is, and the other is that Ben has to be able to score different ways now. 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour is ahead on the Mike Mussinelli Show. Keith Pompey joins us at 4:30. We heard the sound and we'll play it again with him asking Ben Simmons the questions after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.